Well, hello, I am Matt Williamson. This is the Locked On NFL Podcast. It's the middle of June. There's not a lot going on. Yesterday, I did the over-under win totals of the NFC South, which I believe to be the strongest division in the league. A lot of you guys wrote back to me saying that you enjoyed that. You're looking forward to the other seven divisions. I didn't have much else to talk about in the 24 hours since we spoke last. So I figured, heck, we'd keep it in the South and we'll go with the AFC South today. We are brought to you by Blue Chew. I will tell you more about them. A great sponsor of the Locked On Network. And I urge you to check out the entire Locked On Network, even including the NBA stuff if you are into NBA. I'm going to operate under the assumption that most of you listened yesterday and understand how the schedule works. But here's a real quick rundown. The AFC South, they are going to play their six division games, as all divisions do. They have four against the AFC East, which is a very favorable team or division to play against, with the exception, of course, of the Patriots. But the other three are highly winnable games. And the NFC East, which is the Eagles, which is really frightening. You know, I put the Eagles ahead of any team in this AFC South division. But the others, you know, we'll see how it goes, but they're not super daunting. So overall, the teams in this division have pretty easy schedules. And I will tell you those as we go, you know, team by team, starting with the ones projected to win the most, which is Jacksonville. So Jacksonville's over-under total is 9. They have the fourth easiest schedule in the league per Warren Sharp's strength of schedule metrics, which again, I think are the best in the league, or the best out there, and I've had Warren on the show. Jacksonville's two variable games, though. So in addition to playing the AFC East, NFC East, and the three teams in their division, every team in this division will have two variable games against a North and a West AFC team. Jacksonville's are Pittsburgh and Kansas City, because all three of those teams finished in first place last year. So Pittsburgh's not easy. Who knows exactly what you're getting in Kansas City. As for the Jags, I mean, an elite defense. I mean, I don't think you're going to get a lot of arguments that this is the best defense in the league. And it's a defense that's young and fast and probably improving. Yeah, they have a couple older dudes up front, but the Jalen Ramseys and Smiths and Jack. I mean, I think Jack's going to have a huge year. And they use a first-round pick on a raw but really enticing defensive lineman in Bryan. So this defense is elite. I mean, it's probably number one. I mean, there's Minnesota and there's some other good ones out there. But this is a great defense that is designed to rush the passer and defend the pass and run. And we know where this team is. You know, I mean, they've enhanced their offensive line by signing Norwell. It's a big money. And their line was good, but it's not as big and mauling as the common theorists tend to believe. Guys like Linder. Linder was probably their best offensive lineman last year. He's a little bit undersized, athletic, you know, and Norwell's really good in protection too. But he can beat you up and he can maul you. And the offense is going to go through Leonard Fournette. And that formula's tough in today's NFL. You know that Fournette has some ankle issues that have plagued him through his time at LSU and certainly last year. He is certainly a workhorse back, but he takes a lot of punishment. I mean, they need him to hold up. They need everything to go through him. And Yeldon's a good backup, and they have some other guys they can hand the ball to and spell him, and I get that. But they're not going to blow teams out. And this passing game worries me a great deal. I know they've added ASJ and Moncrief, and Robinson wasn't there last year, and he's gone. And some think Bortles is getting better. I am not one of them. I think Bortles and Flacco are two of the quarterbacks I'd look at that common folk think are quality starters that really should not be starting in this league. And I just think that this formula and a hiding of a quarterback is really tough to pull off. But Jacksonville's schedule becomes really favorable after their week 9 bye week. And it is noteworthy, too, that they probably faced the easiest schedule in the league last year as well. The first 8 games aren't easy, but they have the Patriots and Eagles at home. You know, I mean, and Bortles and the Jags offense does play a pretty easy slate of defenses, at least how it looks today. But, man, I mean, relying on a running game with a back who doesn't catch the ball that well, and he's very talented, but can he hold up? And a defense that's awesome is just a really difficult formula. I mean, just think of what happened to Jacksonville in their, or to Denver in their Super Bowl winning year. That worked for a year, but it didn't maintain itself. You know, so I look at the 9-win total, especially because their schedule's easy, and think, you know, they'll probably be a 9-7 team. You know, like, I don't know how exactly Vegas works, but if you could get long odds on betting the push, you know, to get nine wins, I think that's where they're going to be. They certainly could win 10. Again, it's not a very easy, or it's not a very difficult schedule. But I think I'll take the under just because I don't trust Bortles. Maybe that defense, which is awesome, is merely great instead of awesome. You know what I mean? And I don't trust Bortles. I mean, I just think passing games rule the NFL today, and they don't have one that they can lean on. So I'll go with the under. But if I would put the long shot money on them to be 9-7. What you can lean on, though, is our friends at BlueChew.com. So, for those of you that don't know what they do, BlueChew.com will, let's just say, they can increase your performance and get the extra confidence you are looking for in bet. BlueChew.com, that's blue like the color blue, BlueChew.com brings you the first chewable and same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. It gets the blood flowing to all the right spots. So before I tell you more about them, think about what we talk about every day, you know, your football team. If I'm the GM and I draft a young viral pass rusher, something really important to the overall team makeup, and that young man has a great career, really doing what you want, getting a lot of action, causing a lot of big plays, exactly why you drafted him in the third overall pick, but he's starting to get up in age. You know, he's not what he was. He's not always ready to go like he once was. Doesn't come off the ball quite as well, doesn't finish, doesn't sustain it as long, you know, play after play after play. So what do? Do you just ignore it? We just won't have a pass rush then. Who cares? No, you address the situation, and you go out and you go pick up a quality dude on the cheap. Rarely is there a free agent available that doesn't cost you hardly anything, but that free agent is BlueChew.com, right? You can take it anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, this is the key. They work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. I can't imagine using a pill and be like, all right, let's plan this for 12:45 this evening. I'm going to take this pill right now. No, that's not how it works. Blue Chew is just prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. So no in-person doctor visits, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They are made in the USA, which we love that, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they are cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code, LOCKEDON, all one word. All you pay is $5 shipping. That's like nothing. Again, that's B-L-U-E, Chew, C-H-E-W.com, promo code, LOCKEDON, to try it free. Blue Chew is better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for supporting our wonderful podcast. So, back to the AFC South. I took the under reluctantly with the Jags at 9. Houston's at 8.5 wins. And that might surprise you, but they get back Watt. They get back Merciless. They get back Watson. Clearly, it was a much different team with and without Watson. I tweeted out some insane stats about, you know, what they did on a per game basis when Watson was at his best as opposed to when they were out. Oh, by the way, Houston has the easiest schedule in the NFL. That's huge. Their two variable games are the Browns and Denver. So they have some tough games, some tough AFC South games to start the season and end the season. But go check out their week 3 through week 15 stretch. There could be a lot of wins in there if they're healthy. And I do think Jacksonville has the best defense in the league. But I think Houston's going to be in the conversation. And maybe that's a leap of faith saying JJ is going to be JJ or close to being that player. But you had the Honey Badger and Reed and Cunningham in the second year, Merciless back, and Clowney with another step forward. So the defense, I think, is going to be really good. I like the weapons a lot. Hopkins, obviously. Fuller's big play potential. QT, I think, is going to have a nice rookie year. But I don't like the tight end situation. I'm wishy-washy on the running backs. And I absolutely believe that this is the worst offensive line in the league. And I don't say this a lot, and it sounds a little like sour grapes, because you guys know I did not have Watson all that high coming out of school. And I hate to say this about any player, but he really worries me from a long-term, year-to-year durability situation. He's not real big. He doesn't protect himself that well. He extends plays like crazy. He has quite the injury history going back to Clemson, big injuries, and they have the worst offensive line in the league. So, what if he gets hurt? You know, I mean, obviously, you know, that's a game changer for them. But they did add Matthew. They did add Justin Reed. You know, they had a lot of difference makers, I think, on that side of the ball. This one's tough to me. You know, I mean, what if Watt doesn't play all 16? What if Watson doesn't play all 16? They have no running game and they can't protect to get Fuller deep. But their schedule's so favorable. I took the over, but I do not feel comfortable with it. Are they more likely to be a 9-win team or an 8-win team? I guess 9, but I would stay away from this one. I mean, it wouldn't shock me at all if a couple things went wrong. And before you know it, they're 6-10 again. And, you know, Watson misses a month. And JJ's not the same. And the line doesn't hold up. You know what I mean? But again, schedule's favorable. There are some things to get excited about for sure in Houston. Real confident about which way to go on the 8.5 on Houston. I'm pretty darn confident that Tennessee gets over their 8-win total. They have the 7th easiest schedule in the league. Their two variable games are Baltimore, which is never an easy game, and the Chargers, which are pretty darn good, I think. But I think that they know that they're close, and they chose quality over quantity this offseason. Added a couple key pieces, but not a lot of draft picks, you know. It's not a roster that had glaring needs all over it. And I'm not saying it's going to be a McVay to Fisher situation, but I think a coaching change is going to pay off huge on both sides of the ball, the culture. I really was not impressed schematically on offense or overall with the coaching staff here. And I don't know if Vrabel's going to be a good coach or not, but I think LaFleur is. And LaFleur is going to come from that McVay-Shanahan tree. He's a new offense coordinator, for those who don't know. He was a quarterback coach for the Rams last year. And before that, he was a quarterback coach in Atlanta when they went insane. I mean, so they're the last 2 years of the highest scoring offenses in the league. A lot of scheming. And you guys know I like Mariota a lot. I like Corey Davis a lot. I think their running game should be quite good. I think that Deion Lewis pickup was a really nice move. You know, it complements Henry well. And it gives you a real thunder and lightning, but some more every down situations for Lewis as well. It's a rugged, good line. Delanie Walker's still a good player. Guys like Matthews are underrated receivers. So I like the offense to take a big step forward. And I think the defense is pretty darn solid. And I do think Vrabel will help in that regard, too. Add a little pass rush. Add a little big playability with Evans and Landry. Great. Like I said, it's a pretty easy schedule. 7th easiest. If you look at their bye week, before they have 7 games before their bye, 5 of them are pretty tough. And maybe Tennessee doesn't start guns a-blazing coming out of the season. You know, there's some changes here, new coaches, tough schedule in the first 7 games. But their final 7 games, are really easy. You know, at least they are now. Again, a lot can change by, what, week 9 or whatever of the regular season when these 7 games kick in. You know, I don't have a crystal ball here. But it wouldn't shock me if their season started slow, some change, and then they start to hit their rhythm against the easier teams. And the Titans are that team by, like, week 13, 14 that we're all saying, whoa, they're getting hot at the right time. They're gearing up for the playoffs. They're playing really good football. That's what I'm seeing from Tennessee this year. So I think this is an up-and-coming football team that people are not talking about enough to take a leap forward. A high-quality team. Got a little bit of playoff experience, too. You know, that could be helpful down the road. The whole learning how to win thing in this league is real. So I just don't see them as a 7-win team. I think they win 9 or 10. Now, I think I've talked to you about the Colts. Their over-under total is 6.5. And again, I don't have a crystal ball. It is June 20th. Andrew Luck threw a high school football the other day. We don't know where he is. You know, we don't know if he's in play or not. And obviously, that has a ton to do with if you were to bet on the Colts or not. They have the 11th easiest schedule in the league, and their variable games are the Bengals and Raiders. But even if Luck is as good as he can be, which to me, his ceiling, or his, when I say as good as he could be this year, that's knocking on the door on the Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady tier. By the way, side note, I just published my top 10 quarterbacks on WilliamsonFootball.com. And without giving it all away, Rodgers and Brady are the top 2 tier. I think Luck could get to that tier and as soon as this year. I mean, I think he's the next great one, him and Wentz. But we don't know if he's playing. And if he isn't, I do like Brissett quite a bit. And I think the roster is improving, and I think it's a good line. But where I was going before, a good offensive line now, actually. But where I was going before on this is I've heard 4 or 5 analysts that I trust and like and are very metrics-oriented that are shocked by this line, that 6.5 is way too low, and they're all saying, bet the Colts. I see it the total opposite way, man. I mean, have you seen this defense? It's awful. And I still think the Colts, with or without Luck, have the worst roster in the league right now. I mean, it's a total rebuild. And are they going to win 7? And some of the arguments in their favor are, they played a lot of close games and couldn't finish them out. And Football Outsiders and these people tell you that if you're unlucky or if you lose a lot of one-score games, the years and years of football have shown us that most of those teams usually rebound strong. And that comes back to the mean in some degree. Okay. I mean, maybe. Okay. But, I mean, how many games are the Colts going to win over Houston, Tennessee, and Jacksonville? I mean, I bet they're 1-5 in the division. Makes it hard to get 7 wins when you're 1-5 and there's only 10 games left. They got to travel to Philadelphia. They got to go to New England. I mean, if they're playing that game right now, they're 14-point dogs in those games, at Philly, at New England. So if you win 1 in the division, maybe 2, you lose to Philly and New England, there's only 8 games left to get 6 or 7 more wins. That's not this kind of team. I just don't see it. They don't play a great slate of defenses. So I do think the offense, we might be talking about the offense after this year, especially if Luck is back, is, whoa, these guys got something going. They got some tight ends. They're starting to run the ball. Guys like Nyheim Hines are playmakers. They can block. Nelson's a superstar. Luck looks like a stud. Hilton puts up another 1,300-yard type season. I can see that. I mean, that to me is not a hard picture to paint. But this not being one of the worst defenses in the league is something I just can't imagine. They don't have any talent. I mean, I like Malik Hooker. Okay. You know, I mean, who are the building blocks on that side of the ball? So they just don't have talent on defense. And in general, I think this is a, you know, 4-win team. And with Luck, maybe they get the 6. I just can't see them going over 6. And again, I love Luck. I mean, this is my guy. I mean, him and Wentz are the guys I've been bragging about forever. But 7-9 Colts team or better, I'm not seeing it. All right, guys, check out our friends at Blue Chew, and I will talk to you tomorrow. See you.